Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And by the grace of God, we've been able to do 22 books of the Bible straight from Genesis. If you've not been able to listen to the studies that we've done, you can find them on all apps. All podcast apps, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, name it. You'll find us there and you'll be able to listen in. And the Lord shall reveal his word to you. Because, as we always say, there is no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word to everyone who shows the need, to everyone who wants to hear from the Lord. He will come out and he will reveal his word to you. So, even as you listen, you open your heart and let the Lord speak. Indeed, he will, and you will be blessed. Now, we are handling the book of Isaiah, and today we will continue with chapter 28 of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet, as we always know, and the placement of this book does not mean he comes at this time, but rather he's existing at the time of Israel before captivity, even during their captivity. And in chapter 28, he starts by predicting the captivity of Ephraim. Ephraim, of course, is one of the tribes of Israel and is predicting their captivity. He says, "Woe to the proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim and to the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley of those who are overcome with wine." Their main problem here, or one of the problems Ephraim has, is drunkenness. Yeah? And with it, they are proud of it. They speak with pride on how much they drink, on how high they get. Yeah? And he's coming out to speak about that exactly, which makes them proud. You know, having company or having people who take pride in evil, who take pride in things that don't glorify God, who take pride in things that do not honor God. Drunkenness in this case, as Isaiah was speaking, is not something that would honor God, but then people would take pride in it. Yeah? Sometimes we take pride in things that don't matter, things that don't give honor to the Lord. Things that hurt others, things that end up bringing trouble in our homes, in our societies, and you take pride in them. Those things that you feel are so special for you. I know sometimes we say, for me, in my life, this is what I treasure. And those things you treasure actually do not make sense. They only lead you to evil. Now, for them, they would treasure wine. And they would take boast in it. And they would have all the glory upon them of how drunk they get. But this, eventually, is a trouble that comes to them. Because in verse 2 it says, "Behold, the Lord has a strong and mighty agent, as a storm of hail, a tempest of destruction, like a storm of mighty overflowing waters. He has cast it down to the earth with his hand. The proud crown of the drunkards of Ephraim is trodden under foot, and the fading flower of its glorious beauty, which is at the head of the fertile valley, will be like the first ripe fig prior to the summer, which one sees, and as soon as in his hand he swallows it. In that day the Lord of hosts will become a beautiful crown and a glorious diadem to the remnant of his people. The crown should not be one of drunkenness, but one of the Lord. Because the one of drunkenness will suffer judgment, but the one of the Lord lasts forever." That crown, which we all seek, which we all need, and we need the Lord to cover us under his grace. And that's what he's saying here, that it will happen to the remnant of the people. Whenever you see the word remnant, it implies that there are those that have gone. There are those that have been destroyed. There are those that have turned away, but then there are a few that remain. There are a remnant that remain, and those are the ones they're talking about here. It is those that will have share, those that will see, those that will see the manifestation of the Lord, of that crown that they're talking about here. And they're saying a spirit of justice for him who sits in judgment, a strength to those who repel the onslaught at the gate. And these also reel with wine and stagger from strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. Here, what was happening in this place? The priest would get drunk. The prophet would get drunk. They are confused by wine. They stagger from strong drink. They reel while having visions. They totter when rendering judgment. What was happening here? They come to the priest. They come to the prophet. They want to hear from you. And all that comes out of you comes with all the wine on your head. You're speaking scripture and guidance and judgment to people while you're staggering. And how much does this alert us as a Christian circle, as a body of Christ, as leaders, on how we should be very, very careful, because it's possible to live in a sinful life while leading the people of the Lord. It is possible for you not to care about the things of God while you're busy leading the flock. It's possible for you to be like these men, like this priest and prophet that they're talking about here, that you go get drunk, then you come and minister. That you go take drugs, then you come and minister. That you go do all funny things, get into affairs, adultery, and every other thing that does not honor the Lord, dubious deals, evil, and then you come and lead God's people. Because here, these people would come, render judgment to the people, speak what they think the Lord is saying to the people, but then they are confused. And one worrying thing here that comes in this verse, it says, even while they are having visions, they reel. While they're having visions, they're speaking of the things that are going to happen, or probably trying to tell somebody about their life. But then, they're doing this under the influence of wine. They're under the influence of strong drink. They are confused, but they speak. Can God continue using you while your life is running in a very wrong direction? Can God continue speaking through you while your life is running in the opposite direction? Can God continue speaking through you, or letting you do his work towards his people, while you're living a life of drunkenness, while living a life of adultery, while as a leader doing things that do not give glory and honor to you? The answer is simple. It is the people that God needs to serve, and he will serve them. But your life being a representation of evil, judgment comes to you individually. So you will see, and it's possible, that somebody will come on the pulpit, preach an excellent sermon, and thousands get healed. Thousands receive the Lord and are saved. But then, the person who was preaching is staggering, has been drunk, is living a life that does not honor God. Because it's not about that person, it is about the Lord himself. And he wants his people to be healed, he wants his people to be saved. The message will go out, they will be touched. But judgment comes, and that day when it comes to you as the leader. So, it's an alert for us as leaders that we should not confuse the anointing that God has placed upon our lives with our standing with the Lord. Because it's by grace that he picks us and says, you go and minister. You go and serve my people. And he gives you the anointing. He gives you the gifts. And they will manifest. They don't manifest because you are the best. They don't manifest because you studied most. They don't manifest because God loves you the most. They manifest because God's people out there need an attendance, and you have the gift to attend to them. So that's why it's possible for people, for us, to live lives that are crooked and still go ahead and stand on the pulpit and preach. But that is not the best, because if that happens, we are like these people of Ephraim. Judgment comes to us. So they are telling them here, for all the tables are full of filthy vomit without a single clean place. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? For he says, order on order, order on order. Who is speaking here? The Lord himself. Line on line, line on line. A little here, a little there. Indeed, he will speak to these people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. He who say to them, here is rest, give rest to the weary. And here is repose, but they would not listen. So the word of the Lord will be to them, order on order, order on order, line on line, line on line, a little here, a little there, that they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. They are going to be handed over to somebody else because they did not give heed to the word of the Lord. They end up in such a life that does not honor the Lord. Verse 14, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, O scoffers, who rule these people who are in Jerusalem. Now, that warning has been for Ephraim. Now, the one coming is for Judah. Judah himself, they are speaking to these people. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with Sheol, we have made a pact. The overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Can you imagine taking a stance such as this? Falsehood is my refuge. When I'm in trouble, I'll get into falsehood. I'll lie. I'll conceal myself with deception. That is how I get out of the troubles. That is how I find refuge. These are the kind that he's speaking to here. And they seem to say that we've made a covenant with death and with Sheol. They will not touch us. How do people get to such a level? And it says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place. There's a promise here that has been given of what will be given, what will be made, that cornerstone. And if you believe, you will not be disturbed. Jesus has been given to us. If you believe in him, you will not be disturbed. If you believe in him, you will not fall. You will know what to do. You will know where to place your hope. You will know what to stand for. And that is what is being spoken here. And he says, your covenant with death, he's telling them, will be cancelled. Remember, while we're starting, these men were saying, we've made a covenant with death and with Sheol. It will not touch us. He is saying, your covenant with death will be cancelled, and your pact with Sheol will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge passes through, then you will become its trampling place. When that scourge that comes to break you down, that which you thought will not touch you, it will bring you down. People come out and say, we hear them, there is no God. Others come out and say, oh, those things you say, that the day is coming of judgment, it does not exist. But that day is coming. And when the scourge has come, if you did not stand and hold on to that cornerstone that is promised, Christ the Lord, then you are the trampling place for the scourge, for the judgment that is to come. And it goes on and says, as often as it passes through, it will seize you, for morning after morning it will pass through. anytime during the day or night, and it will be sheer terror to understand what it means. You wonder, why am I going through all this trouble? Why is all this coming to me? Why are things not working for my side? You don't understand, but you need to check the life. Check the life. The bed is too short on which to stretch out, and the blanket is too small to wrap oneself in. For the Lord will rise up as at Mount Perazim. He will be stirred up as in the valley of Gibeon to do his task, his unusual task, and to work his work, his extraordinary work. And now do not carry on as scoffers. All your fetters will be made stronger. All your fetters will be made stronger. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts of decisive destruction on all the earth. He's speaking and saying, correct your life, sort yourself, because I have heard it's been spoken of the judgment to come. This is a prophet, and he's exacting his words, saying, I've heard it, and I know that it is coming. So he's saying, give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Listen to me as I speak. It's not people that matter. It's not what people say. It's not what most people who think they are the wisest say about God. Read your Bible and know what God tells you, because through that you will have the guidance on how to live your life. And says, does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat in rows, barley in its place and rye within its area? For his God instructs and teaches him properly. God is the one who instructs us. God is the one who teaches us, and he does so properly. Yeah? He tells us what to do. We just need to be able to listen. In the situation that you're going through in your business, it is God who instructs, and it is God who teaches you properly. In that challenge you're going through in your marriage, it is God who instructs, and it is God who teaches you properly. You listen to him. You don't listen to your will. You don't listen to how much money you have so you control the home. No. Instruction from the Lord, teaching from the Lord, and you'll be peaceful, and you'll avoid judgment, and you'll avoid trouble that looms. Verse 27, for deal is not threshed within a threshing sledge, nor is the cartwheel driven over cumin, but deal is beaten out with a rod, and cumin with a club. There is a purpose for everything, and there is a way everything has to be handled in a proper manner, in a way that is directed properly, clearly. Not all solutions work for your circumstance. And you need to know and be careful not to run things in a way that they are not meant to be run, because eventually that brings trouble. Yeah? Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever. A time comes when the grain is ready. You don't keep heating it. A time comes when something that you've done has to come to an end, and a next purpose comes on. A time has to come when those things you've been holding on to, because they told you that is the way it's supposed to be done, come to an end, and you try Jesus, and you try the saving grace of the Lord. A time comes when you need to look to the Lord, because there's a time for everything. And the moment you fail to learn the timing, then trouble has come. If you continue crushing the grain when the time to thresh it is over, then you spoil it. Sometimes we hold on to things so long, yet we had to let them go. Sometimes we keep doing the same thing for so long and we kill it. It could be in our ministries. It could be in the work that we do. It could be in the ideas that we have. That you keep on the same idea in your business and you don't change, even when everything requires for you to change, and you spoil it. Because the wheel of his cart and his horses eventually damage it, he does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who has made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. We shall close with chapter 29 today. It says, "Woe, O Ariel." Now, this is Jerusalem being warned. Ariel is a representation of them. Ariel, the city where David once camped. They are talking about Jerusalem. And Isaiah here was sending a message to them, the people of Jerusalem, and said, "Add year to year. Observe your feasts on schedule. I'll bring distress to Ariel, and she'll be a city of lamenting and mourning, and she'll be like an Ariel to me. I will camp against you, encircling you, and I will set siege works against you, and I will raise up battle towers against you." What happens to a place that was so much loved by the Lord that now he's saying, "I will bring you down"? What do we do to the Lord who loved us so greatly that now the statement or the word that is coming out is, "I will destroy you"? This was a place of joy. This is a place where David once camped. It's a place where he sat. A place where he ruled Israel. And they are saying, "I'll bring battle towers against you. Then you'll be brought low. From the earth you will speak. And from the dust where you were prostrate, your words will come. Your voice will also be like that of a spirit from the ground, and your speech will whisper from the dust." Can you imagine a place once beloved, and all that is coming out to what will happen to them is negative? "But the multitude of your enemies will become like fine dust, and the multitude of the ruthless ones like the chaff which blows away, and it will happen instantly, suddenly." Just like that, you'll wake up one morning and it will be hitting you. "From the Lord of hosts you will be punished with thunder and earthquake and loud noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a consuming fire. And the multitude of all the nations who wage war against Ariel, even all who wage war against her and her stronghold, and all who distress her, will be like a dream, a vision of the night. It will be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he is eating. But when he awakens, his hunger is not satisfied. All as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he is drinking. But when he awakens, behold, he is faint, and his thirst is not quenched. Thus the multitude of all the nations will be who wage war against you, Mount Zion." Jerusalem is being told here, one day, and it's coming, and everybody will be against you. They'll come and hit you. They'll come and torture you. They'll come and bring you to waste. And says, "Be delayed and wait. Blind yourselves and be blind. They become drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. He has shut your eyes," the prophets, "and he has covered your heads," the seers. Imagine what has happened. There's a decision here that has come out to them. And it's dangerous when it's intentional for your ears to be shut. You remember the example of Pharaoh, that his heart was hardened. It was an intentional call from the Lord himself. And when that happens, you face all judgment, all plague hits Pharaoh. But it's because of the hardness of heart that he has exhibited and shown in the past. Now here they are saying, your eyes will be shut. The prophets, and there will be a spirit of deep sleep that has been hit over you. Reference to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's the same case here, that Jerusalem is being spoken over, that there was righteousness, there was an option to believe for the right thing, but they took a wrong turn. And because of that, a deep sleep shall come over them. They will have eyes but not see. They'll cover their heads. The seers, the prophets, whoever speaks, it will not be taken, because there's been an intentional shutdown that has been ordered. Verse 11, the entire vision will be to you like the words of a sealed book, which when they give it to the one who is literate, saying, please read this, he will say, I cannot read, for it is sealed. Then the book will be given to the one who is literate, saying, please read this. And he will say, I cannot read. Then the Lord said, because these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will once again deal marvelously with these people, wondrously, marvelously, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the discernment of their discerning men will be concealed. Honoring God with your lips, but when he is far from your heart. Honoring God, that's what we've been talking about here, serving God. I come out here and I speak and I preach. Yet back there, my life is hell. I torture people. I take people through difficult circumstances. I treat people badly. I do evil. I honor God with my lips, but my heart is far. Matthew chapter 15 verse 8 says, these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. My heart needs to be close to God, and you will know it. You know it when it's just lip service. You will know it when it's just lip service. When you're not doing it for the Lord, you just come and speak. But he says, he will come and deal, and the wisdom of the wise men will perish. Those who felt wise. Spoken of also in 1 Corinthians 1:19 says, for it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring nothing to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, sometimes we think we are wise and we are cutting corners and God cannot know, but he brings down that wisdom that you think that you have. Because your lip and what it speaks and your heart need to be communicating the same message. Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord, and those whose deeds are done in dark places. And they say, who will see us? All who knows us? You turn things around, shall the potter be considered equal as the clay, that what is made would say to its maker, he did not make me. All what is formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding. Things that are done in secret, and you think they will not come out in the light. Things that you do, and you think they will not be seen. They will be revealed. You cannot hide it from the Lord. It will all come out in light. Is it not yet just a little while before Lebanon will be turned into a fertile field, and the fertile field will be considered as a forest On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will come to an end, and the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all who are intent on doing evil will be cut off. Who cause a person to be indicted by a word, and ensnare him to who adjudicates at the gate, and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now turn pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in its midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in mind will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept instruction. Of course, God being gracious to us, there is always another opportunity. Even after all the messes that have happened, he still promises that I will come back to your rescue. But it's important for me to know that I need to do all that I can to live in line with the Lord, because that saves me from the dangerous judgment that is to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for speaking to us. We pray that you guide us always and help us lead lives that honor and respect you. We exalt you and give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.